Thank you for listening to this podcast from KX93.5, Laguna's only FM. We invite you to listen to more music and talk on our grassroots non-profit radio station in Laguna Beach, California, from anywhere in the world on kx935.com/listen or on our smartphone apps. But right now, here's that podcast from KX93.5.
You're listening to Jazz Quest Radio, the only jazz program on Laguna's only FM. KX 93.5.
All right, jazzers, listen up. You want to hear jazz?
Miss Billie Holiday.
Bird.
The music called jazz.
Do a little live jamming from the Pearl Street Studio right here next to the beautiful Pacific Ocean. But first, we're going to play a little Miles Davis.
You're listening to Jazz Quest Radio. I'm Tommy Benson here with Mr. Brett Eklund. Hi, Brett. Nice to see you.
It's been a little while since the two of us have been here together live at the Pearl Street Studio.
Next to Brett in the studio, we have saxophonist Jake Brown. Welcome back.
Thank you, Tommy. It's been how many weeks now? I think
One?
Too many weeks.
Thanks for filling in for me. I appreciate it.
On the other side, we have the great Dylan Wilson, friend of Jazz Quest Radio. Nice to see you, Dylan.
Yep.
I can't wait to talk about all your wonderful travels that you've been on and all the great adventures that your musical instrument has taken you
You've been a lot of places this year.
Across the globe. But first off, we're going to step into New Territory. That's the name of Jake Brown's album, New Territory. And what was that funky track on there that we were digging?
I think the funky track that you're digging is Square Up.
I do too. So let's all square up, take a listen to Jake Brown here on Jazz Quest Radio. Jake Brown, the track Square Up. Boy, you can get greasy with that ending.
Ooh, getting it muddy. It's muddy. That's what it is. It's muddy.
I like it. Dragging through the mud. So how long has this album been out, Jake?
This album's been out since October of 2017, so definitely not a very long time.
Excellent. Well, it's a pleasure to listen to. It's a pleasure to have you live. And I think it's time for all of us to do a little squaring up to the microphones right now. Dylan, let me hear that bass. Oh, yeah. All right. Oh, and there's some guitar right there. Well, since we've already sprang forward, it won't be long before we get into the summertime, and I'd like to play Summertime with you guys. Will you join me on Summertime? Thank you. That was fun. Thank you for indulging me. For our listeners that don't know, this wonderful man on the upright bass tonight is also quite a rock and roller, I'd say. Dylan, I think we should jump right in to one of the tunes that you're normally playing on stage in front of millions of people out there in the world. I'm going to go ahead and play it for our listeners so they can get a little bit of a sense of what you do when you're not playing upright bass, when you share the stage with guitar hero Richie Kotzen and your wonderful band that consists of you and Mike Bennett.
Yeah, this is the new recording. It was recently done, and it's got the three of us on it. It's cool. There's a new video out as well. It's kind of a Western-looking video. It's actually the same place they filmed the original Westworld. I think the church in the video is the same church in November Rain, too. It was a cool location shoot.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more. We're going to go ahead and hit play right now. This is The Damned with Dylan Wilson.
The truth, the weight's getting heavy. I don't know what I
right there. You're listening to Jazz Quest Radio. You would think we're still on Guitar God's Power Hour because of Guitar God Richie Kotzen there.
I thought that's what we were doing when I arrived. I was like, oh, man, it's Jazz Quest. Good thing I brought the upright.
Good thing, my gosh. You brought the upright.
Almost brought a P-bass down. It would have been nuts.
So, Dylan.
Yeah.
I've got to ask you. First of all, the song The Damned, right there.
Yeah.
Great music video. Have you shot a lot of music videos?
I've shot a few. This one was pretty cool, though. There had to be a park ranger there on site for this location, and he said that the federal funding was, like, done or something. So that was the last day that somebody could legally film on site there. And a lot of stuff was done there. Westworld was filmed over there and a bunch of stuff. It was a cool experience. It's so crazy now. They have drones following us around, filming us.
Well, it's an amazing video. And it's so nice to have you live in the Pearl Street studio playing some jazz with us when you're out there rocking around the world. The question that I wanted to ask right away is, I follow you on Instagram, which is one of the more enjoyable Instagram things to watch. And when I saw that you went to play a show in India and the pictures that surrounded that, tell us about your India excursion.
You know, the India trip was incredible. It felt like the most exotic place I'd been to, the most out of the way. You know, most places we tour, we're in big cities, and it feels very much the same as anywhere else. But where we went to in India, this place, Dambuk, is inaccessible 6 months out of the year. It's surrounded by rivers that get so flooded that the locals have to use elephants to cross them. So before we even left, I had heard, like, we might have to take an elephant ride to get to the gig. You know, there might be this and that involved. And what it ended up being was, like, three flights, a helicopter ride, a ferry boat ride, which I swear it looked like the ferry out of Rambo with cars on it. Apparently, cars constantly fall in the river. In fact, you know, when I got there on stage, I had heard that there was going to be a certain rig set up. And I got there, I was like, oh, hey, what happened to, you know? And the guy's like, oh, it drowned. And I was like, what do you mean it drowned? This is the bass rig I was supposed to play. And he showed me a picture on his phone. The car just, like, fell over this little man-made bridges I've just made of, like, bamboo. And the car just, like, tipped over and fell in the river, and the amp drowned. So I played whatever else they had, which was great. Everything went fine. They were great people, really friendly.
Was there a time that you felt like you might not make it out of there alive?
You know what's funny? We had to take a helicopter to the gig, and it's this old Russian helicopter, and we were all jacked up, like, oh, that was so much fun, so cool. And as soon as we get off of it, they start telling us about how many people die every year on these helicopters, because it's, like, really high altitude over there, you know? So helicopters have a lot of problems in high altitude, and apparently a lot of people go down. So it's funny that they didn't tell us that until afterward.
You guys played, what, 90 minutes?
Yeah, we traveled over 48 hours to play a 90-minute show, and it was just an amazing adventure. You know, I'd like to go back and get some more India time in, but the people where we went were amazing. We had armed guards with us the whole time. Like, apparently it's disputed land over there. China thinks it's theirs.
That's a once-in-a-lifetime
adventure.
And I mean, even though you've traveled all over the world with Richie, but Richie had never been there either.
He had never been there. In fact, I remember he sent an email that said, hey, you know, we have this offer to go to India, and, you know, just so you know, we're going to be kind of off grid, and it's going to be brutal getting there and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, my response was immediately like, yeah, we have to go. Obviously, we have to go, no matter what the condition. What kind of adventure is that, you know? I mean, what kind of life would it be if you didn't say yes to things like that? So,
well, are you guys ready to listen to a little bit of Eddie Henderson while we get drummer Tino Marufo set up here in the Pearl Street?
Yeah,
so this is brand new Eddie Henderson. As you know, we've interviewed Eddie on the show. Eddie's maybe most famous for playing with M1 Dishy with Herbie Hancock back in the day, but he's got a brand new album out called Be Cool. And this is a track from that. I'm not even sure if it's been released or it's just been released, one or the other. It's brand new.
Hi, this is Eddie Henderson. You're listening to Jazz Quest Radio.
Thank you.
Yeah, where the cool kids hang out. Jazz Quest Radio. That was Smokescreen off of Eddie Henderson's album Cool. Brett Eklund, you find the cool stuff.
Eddie Henderson, you know, he wasn't very nice to me when I met him at the gig. I looked a little bit like a homeless man at the time, though. When my beard was all grown out and my hair, he was probably like, holy smokes, who's this guy?
I don't know. What was that picture he sent? His poolside with the drink and his lady. Yeah. It looked
pretty cool.
He was super
nice, though. Remember he told us he almost became a professional Olympic ice skater. Remember that when we interviewed him?
Yeah.
He was a jazz trumpeter.
Really?
And a physician.
Oh, my gosh.
And literally a physician and a professional ice skater. It was him and Peggy Fleming or something. It was some sort of race type situation that kept him from going pro. So he became a doctor, and then Herbie asked him, do you want to be a doctor or you want to play jazz? And he chose jazz.
Clearly, that's the choice. Clearly.
I'd like to welcome Tino Marufo to the room.
Hi.
Hi, Tino.
How's it going?
I'm good. I'm glad that you got here safely, brother.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Actually, the drive wasn't too bad.
That's good. Yeah. Looks like you have something there in your hand that you're going to play. What is that?
My cell phone?
That's one odd instrument.
Of course, nowadays we could probably all play artificial version of our instruments on the cell,
I
right?
So, yeah.
Probably get a killer drum tone on that cell phone.
Probably a better one than I got.
Well, since Eddie Henderson was part of M1 Dishy and Herbie got him out of his figure skating situation, let's play a little Herbie Hancock.
Thank you.
Jazz Quest Radio. I'm Tommy Benson. We're playing live in the Pearl Street Studio. What a pleasure it is. That was Jake Brown on saxophone. And Dylan.
That, all right. That was nice, guys.
Yeah. Tino.
Get in.
Pretty awesome. Now, sometimes when you're out on the road with the Richie Kotzen Band, you're playing a very unique bass that people can see pictures of on your Instagram.
Yeah, Ennis Design, Ned Steinberger Design. You remember that company that came out, like, had it been the late 80s or maybe it was earlier with the headless basses?
We were just talking
about
Steinbergers.
Were you just talking about this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Eddie Van Halen had a Steinberger, same company.
Think so.
Yeah.
We actually read the list of players for Steinberger because we're like, no, not that many people really did it. Alan Holdsworth had one.
Yeah.
Reeves Gabriel.
That
played with David Bowie. He had one.
Oh, all right. Yeah.
Yeah. So
they make an incredible electric upright bass. In fact, it seems like their whole line of like electric violins, electric cellos are pretty happening and on the cutting edge. And anyway, so Richie said he wanted to do this acoustic thing and he thought it'd be cool if I played upright. And, you know, this bass here I'm playing in the studio was made in the 1890s. So it's extremely old and it's delicate and it's big and it's expensive and all this kind of stuff. So I thought, well, there's no way I'm doing that. But I didn't want to play the electric on stage. It's going to be lame, you know, like he comes out the acoustic, drummer pregs out the cajon, and I'm still playing the same act. So I was looking at electric uprights and I saw Pat Badger from Extreme, who we toured with. So I saw him on their site. I'm like, oh, I know Pat. And I text Pat. I'm like, hey, man, like, I want to get a hold of one of these NS basses. So he's like, oh, yeah, here's the dude's number. Text a guy, the nicest people in the world. And I'm like, absolutely. They hooked me up with this bass, beautiful instrument made in Czechoslovakia. And it has just a killer arco tone as well as pizzicato tone, which means bowed or plucked with fingers for those non-bass players out there. And, you know, people just look at it and they're like, what is that? Is that a Chapman stick, bro? But no, it's just a beautiful instrument. It's easy to travel with. And it was great getting hooked up with that company and being able to kind of find my way around that live on tour. Because Richie famously doesn't like to rehearse too much. So it was definitely like, I just got that bass and just took it out on the road.
Wow. Here's the acoustic set. Good luck with that bass.
Yeah, we don't need to rehearse that stuff. We'll just leave some magic in it. But I like that about our group. It's not over rehearsed. You don't hear the same thing necessarily every night.
I saw some video clips of you live playing that bass, and it sounded real good. Some clip I saw you were playing live on a Las Vegas television show or something.
Oh, I hate that you brought that up. Yeah, there was a debacle in there.
Now everyone's going to go YouTube.
Richie was playing a chord how he was now doing it, and I was still going off of the recorded acoustic version I had learned the song off of.
Uh-huh.
You know, so we just like on tour, and that was a few days in.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're still locking in trying to hear through the in-ears. And on the TV show, too, it was like, you're just throw and go.
So
I'm up there, and I played a minor third over Cordy, played a major third. I was super embarrassed. I think I played it off well, but I saw a couple of people comment on YouTube. I was like, oh, man.
Really?
You know, everything bad and good gets out there. Fortunately, I think I've had enough good representation.
At least he didn't give you
YouTube.
The raised eyebrow. You know what I mean? That's what
I'm just saying. Oh, no, not at all. Costin's a super cool dude and gives me a lot of opportunity to play, you know, and take chances, too, which is really cool, and I think missing in a lot of music today, where it's like there's no room for any musicians to take some chances and make some spontaneity and some what I would call like just magic happen. You know, everything's just like pre-recorded, play the same thing every night, the same solo. As a musician, I don't really want to see that or listen to that. Of course, I'm probably a minority.
Two things. One is you guys have a live DVD that came out maybe a couple years ago now.
Yeah, yeah.
But then also you and your drummer have like some sort of web series.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Let's talk about that, because that's kind of cool.
He's an incredible drummer and longtime friend of mine. And the two of us got together and filmed a bunch of instructional videos, if you will. It started off as it was going to be a DVD. And then as we saw what we actually put together, we're like, let's just do a little web series. Because we end up talking so much. The two of us on the road all the time, so we're just kind of spitballing our own ideas of what it is that we do as a rhythm section, and especially over years of playing together. So we came up with 11 episodes, and I've had some good positive feedback from it. It's not for beginners, but it's also not for like really seasoned guys, although I've had some real seasoned players be like, oh, it was kind of nice to hear you say that because I think those same things.
I like the way it's conversational, so you're not getting too technical about anything, but just really explaining to people how to relate to each other on stage. I have a lot of students who I'm like, you know, you need to roll your volume knob back when someone else is soloing. I mean, it's just simple common courtesy that a lot of people don't.
I guess a lot of the stuff we say is kind of common knowledge, but people need to hear that and needs to be reinforced that, yeah, there is a proper way to behave in the situation like you're talking about and get under the soloist and listen to what's going on and,
yes,
and all kinds of stuff.
Another thing that Mike Bennett does that was helpful is he does a lot of teaching about producing. And yeah, I watched a couple of his live Facebook streams and got some nice inspiration and some good production tips and training.
Yeah. By the way, the YouTube thing of ours is called The Rhythm Section Concepts and Conversations. It's kind of long, but if you go to my Instagram, there is a link on my profile page.
Speaking of rhythm sections, Tino Marufo, how's the old tea special?
We've had a few shows, just hitting up the press every now and then. And then Dylan and I, with Matt Politano, we recently just played there.
That was fun.
It was a lot of fun. And it was actually, it was kind of great because it was like, ever since I came back to the SoCal area, it was like 10 years since we played that gig.
That was the original tea special.
Yeah, pretty much.
Special sauce.
Yes, the special sauce. It was great.
Yeah, that was a good time. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I look forward to playing with you gentlemen on St. Patrick's Day. We're all going to get together. Jake Brown, Brett Eklund, Tino Marufo, Dylan Wilson, and myself. And we're going to have a little throwdown jam session for some wonderful people out there.
I'm actually going to be sending a sub. I meant to mention that to you. I'm just kidding. I'll be there. I'll be there.
Well, we've got time to play one more live tune before Jazz Quest After Hours starts. So what do you say, boys? You want to play some John Coltrane Blue Train and lead it out with some blues? Thank you. Take us somewhere, Tino. Up, give me another rhythm. Tino Marufo on the drums. That's Jake Brown on that saxophone. And Mr. Brett Eklund on guitar. It was fun rapping with you. Stay tuned now for Jazz Quest After Hours.
I'm Dylan Wilson, and you're listening to Jazz Quest.